One thing that I've learned since becoming a parent, a father, is that something inside of me, I just have high expectations for my child. And I just want him to grow up, and I want him to do well, and I want him to be successful in life. And I think about the family doctor who has a four-year-old daughter. And her little girl is very bright, and she hopes that her daughter might one day follow in her footsteps and become a doctor herself. The other day on the way to preschool, she realized she had left her stethoscope beside the car seat in the back seat. And on the ride to preschool, her little four-year-old picked up her stethoscope. She put it in her ears. Oh, and she couldn't hardly contain her joy in the front seat, thinking, oh man, my little girl, she wants to be a doctor. So excited. It just melted her heart that she was playing with her stethoscope. She got so excited. Yes, my little girl's going to be so successful. But then she put it up to her mouth and said, welcome to McDonald's. How may I take your order today? Oh, boy. Mama had high hopes, but her little girl had something different planned. One was thinking medicine. The other one's thinking chicken McNuggets. All right. Oh, boy. But how often are we like that with God? Our Heavenly Father who created us, who wrote our story before we were even born, who planned out many great and wonderful things for us. God has such high expectations for our lives, and yet we settle for so much less. How many of you got a rock when you came in this morning? Okay? If you've been fasting, don't eat it. Spit it out. Spit it out. Okay? And this is also not for throwing at me if I preach too long today. But this is an illustration, is that so many times in our Christian walk, we believe God for the pebbles when God wants us to believe him for the mountain. So many times, it's easy to believe God to help your stumped toenail to recover. But what about a big diagnosis? We settle for believing God for the little things, but we don't believe him for the big things. It is my prayer today that we would have enough faith. We would be so full of the power of the Word of God and of the Holy Spirit that we'd be bold enough to charge hell with a squirt gun. It's my prayer that we would stop settling for pebbles when God has a mountain with our name on it. Tell somebody, have faith in God. I feel so full of faith, I could chase after Moby Dick in a rowboat and bring the tartar sauce along. You got to have faith. And when I think about people of faith, there are two men in the Old Testament who are high on the list. You know the story, God delivers the Israelites out of Egypt and they get to the promised land. They send 12 spies to spy out the land, and 10 said, we can't do it. 2 said, we're more than able to possess the land. So what are the names of the 2 spies who said yes? Joshua and Caleb. What are the names of the other 10? Nobody cares. Okay, if you want to be forgotten, just be negative. I don't know about you. I want to be remembered for my faith. So here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is an old man. But he's 85 years old, and he's still going strong. Don't let anybody tell you you're too old to be used by God. Daniel was over 70 years old when he was thrown in the lion's den. And Moses was 80 when he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And Caleb was 85 years of age, and he was ready to go take his mountain. Caleb said, I'm 85, and I still got it. Some of y'all, if you said that to me, I'd ask you, well, where is it? Some of us think we got it, but Caleb really did. He had it going on. His eyes were sharp, his mind was sharp, he was physically strong, and he was ready for battle. I love what he says. I'm ready for war to go in and come out. In other words, I'm not just going to go die in battle. I'm going to win and come back victorious. That's faith, y'all. And when the Israelites come to a place called Mount Hebron, Caleb knows what they're going to find there. Why? Because he had been there before. 40 years earlier, he had spied out the land, and he had walked on that mountain. Yes. Caleb knew what he was getting into. There were giants on that mountain, the Anakim, the giants who ruled the land. And not only were there giants, but there were fortified cities. Taking the mountain wasn't going to be easy, but Caleb was ready to get to work. You see, for Caleb, the mountain represented a promise of God for him. God told him under Moses, he said, where you have set your foot today, that land is yours as an inheritance forever. God had promised the mountain, but Caleb had not yet possessed the mountain. And that's where so many of us are right now. It is promised, but we have not yet possessed it. Because we all have mountains like that. We all have things that we've been hoping for and believing for, but we don't yet have possession of those things. And I don't know what your mountain is today, but I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe your mountain is your marriage, or your mountain is your family. Maybe it's the salvation of your children. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe it's a ministry that God's called you to do. Maybe it's telling a coworker about Jesus. We all have dreams that God has placed in our hearts, things that he's promised, but we don't yet possess. Yes. Caleb saw Mount Hebron and he said to Joshua, give me this mountain. So two things about Caleb that I want you to see and understand and connect with this morning. Number one is that Caleb had faith in the promise. Caleb had faith in the promise. The children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me. Yes. First thing Caleb says is, remember what God said. Tell somebody, remember what God said. Caleb remembered the promise of God, and he put his faith in the promise. It had been a long time, but Caleb never forgot what God had promised him. He never let go of what God told him. My goodness, how many times do we get a word from God at a Sunday morning service, and by the time we get to Bojangles, we forgot all about it. Caleb had faith in what God said. He never forgot the promise of God concerning his life. Never underestimate the power of faith in God. God isn't looking for the best and the brightest. He isn't looking for people with the most money or talent. God is looking for men and women who will simply take him at his word. Did you know that faith is the currency of heaven? If you want to do business in this world, you've got to have money. But if you want to do business with God, you've got to have faith for that. God is looking for people who will take him at his word. And that's who Caleb was. He said, God, you promised it, and I take you at your word. 45 years had gone by before Caleb was face to face with what God had promised him. And this is a tough word because we live in a give-it-to-me-right-now culture. Come on, we want everything and we want it right away. I sit at the microwave looking at my watch, tapping my foot because it's taking too long. We live in a culture of instant gratification, but we have to understand that God's timetable is different from our timetable. We want it right away, but God has a way of taking us through a process to get there. Why? Because God cares just as much about who you are becoming as he does about where you're going.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isaiah said, strength will come to those who wait upon the Lord. You have to understand that it will take as long as it takes, but every promise of God will come to pass. But here's what Caleb learned. Some things have to die on the way to the promise. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb said, God has kept me alive these 45 years to bring me to this day. God preserved Caleb because he believed the promise. But then God said, for 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness until all the doubt can die. Some things have to die on the way to the promise. There are some things that God will take you through, a process of pruning and removing that God will lead you through before you're ready for what he promised you. When you move forward in faith, there are always things that you must leave behind. When you reach for the promise of God, there's some stuff you're going to have to let go of. And that's the process God took Caleb through. A whole generation of doubters had to die in the desert before he came face to face with what God had promised. Yes. Let me tell you about this mountain. It was a big mountain. It was a fortified mountain. It was inhabited by big people. Okay, the Anakim lived there. They were the giants that the spies saw earlier. So Caleb was looking at this giant, be like, what? You going down. Come on. It was a big mountain, a big city, big walls, and big people. In other words, Caleb was facing an impossible situation. Caleb was a little old man facing a great big mountain. Great thick walls, great big giants. Nobody believed it could be done. People, y'all know people probably made fun of Caleb. Hey, old man, what you going to do about them giants? Nobody else thought he could do it. People laughed at him. They mocked him. And if they did it to Caleb, they'll do it to you too. Oh, people right now in your life are saying you can't do it, making fun of you. They're mocking your faith in God, telling you it'll never work, it'll never happen. Listen, I don't care what the doubters say. Nobody cares about them anyway. It's about what God says. Book of Second Opinion says haters gonna hate. You don't need a person to stand with you. You need a promise from God. The way I look at it, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The mountain might be big right now, but the God inside of me is bigger than the mountain in front of me. People's opinions will come and go, but the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Word of God will not waver, it will not change, and it cannot fail. Caleb, when he faced the mountain, he quoted the promise of God. 45 years ago, God said he would give me every place where I set my foot. So give me this mountain. If you have a mountain before you this morning, it's time to quote the promises of God concerning your life. If your mountain is your marriage, you need to find every promise of God in the Bible about marriage, and you start declaring what God has promised you. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Anybody found a good thing? And receives favor from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:14, I like this one. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through the wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. If you're a child of God, God sanctifies the whole house. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 6, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And here's a good one on marriage. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Find out what the Word of God says about marriage and you speak to your mountain today. If your mountain is the salvation of your children, speak the promises of God over them. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. You need to speak that every day of your life. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Some of you have been standing on that promise for years. Well, the Bible doesn't say how old they've got to be. It just says when they're old, they won't depart from him. They got to be 99 and a half before they get it. You stand on God's promise. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Speak to your mountain. If it's healing, you need to speak the word of God in Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, I am healed. I say that every day. By his stripes, I am healed. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but there's giants on my mountain. And they got big walls and big guns, and they play dirty. Okay, listen, I'm telling you, I'm just going to have to say what God told me to tell you tonight, this morning. You've got giants on your mountain.
Yes.
Your mountain is marriage. You have forces of the enemy working against you. You have negative thoughts coming at you all the time saying, this is going to fail. It's not going to work. They're never going to change. Things are never going to get better. You need to speak to those giants. One person clapped, but I hope everybody was listening. When those thoughts come into your mind, you need to speak to those things and say, uh-uh. When Jesus fasted in the wilderness, every time the devil came at him, he responded with the word. Mm-hmm. I'll keep on moving. You have faith in the promises of God. Declare them over your life. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, some of you, that's your problem. You let the mountain do all the talking.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. You give me your whole medical history in 5 minutes. You tell me the name of every diagnosis, and you tell me the name of every doctor, and you describe in detail every procedure you've ever had and hadn't said one thing about the promise of God for healing or health. Ooh, the mountain's talking. Mountain, 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 mountain. You need to say to your mountain, mountain, you better shut it.
Amen.
Speak the word of God into your situation. How did God create the world? By speaking it into being. He said, let there be light. There are people here today, you want to dream big and you want to speak to your mountain, but you don't feel worthy, and maybe you don't feel like you deserve anything from God. I want to tell you something this morning about Caleb, and some of you, this may blow your mind. For those of you familiar with the story, when we think about the Israelites going into the promised land, the two people we think of more than anybody else is Joshua and Caleb. Caleb's name is synonymous with Israel taking the promised land, but here's something you may not know. Caleb was not even an Israelite. Joshua 14:14, Hebron came before the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite. Caleb was not an Israelite. He was a Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were descended from Esau. I want you to get a hold of this. Caleb was an heir to the promise, not by birth, but by faith. God's not looking for pedigree. He's looking for somebody who will just believe what he says. None of us deserve anything apart from the grace of God. Caleb didn't deserve anything because he had no birthright, but he believed God anyway, and God gave him what he asked for. You have been made worthy of every promise of God. Did you know that? You didn't earn it. Jesus paid the price and gave you every blessing of God. I love Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us everything? All things. That's from the Goldsboro translation of the Bible. Make the devil R-U-N-N-O-F-T. Get him out of town. Amen. If God can bless a Kenizzite with a mountain, how much more do you think God wants to bless you? You're a child of God. 1 Peter 2:10. You who once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You might not be an heir by birth, but you can become an heir by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Salvation isn't about what you've done. It's about faith in what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Listen, you might not have been worthy, but by the blood of Jesus, you have become worthy. Come, somebody shout, I'm worthy. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Thanks, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. God has qualified us. Amen. Acts 10:15 says, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. If you've been made clean, come on, shout, I'm worthy. Number one, Caleb had faith in the promise. Number two, Caleb had a fight in his spirit. Caleb was a fighter, y'all. When other people looked at that mountain and they saw the giants and they saw the city and they kept on going, but not Caleb. Caleb had a fight in his spirit. He wasn't about to just let the enemy keep what was rightfully his. And if you're going to take the mountain, you must be willing to fight for it. Amen. People get the wrong impression about Christians, y'all. They have the wrong idea about who Christians really are. The world thinks we're a bunch of pansies who sit around holding hands, singing kumbaya, and making friendship bracelets. Okay, let's be honest. But let me tell you something. Being a Christian means that you are a soldier in the army of God. Jesus said, don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. If you're a Christian, guess what? You're in a fight. And there is no neutral ground in the kingdom of God. There is no reserve force. We are all on active duty. A fight. Tell somebody, I'm a fighter. We're commanded by the scriptures to fight the good fight of faith. Jude verse 3 tells us to contend for the faith. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to put on the armor of God so we can fight against the enemy. Come on, tell somebody, it's a fight. And I wish somebody here today would just get a fight in your spirit. I wish you would just get so fed up with the devil that enough is enough is enough. That you get so mad that you put on your armor and you pick up your weapon and you start advancing the enemy. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, I'm no historian, but I don't ever remember a city gate going and attacking somebody else. We think about that scripture as if we're on the defensive. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about you and me storming the gates of hell. I tell you what, y'all ain't clapping and shouting. I shout myself. Amen. Yes. Hashtag good preaching. You don't have to get excited. Just listen. Listen to the podcast. I don't care as long as you're awake. God is calling us to storm the gates of hell. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning, I want the devil to scream, oh, he's awake. Come on, I want to give the devil such a hard time every day that he's popping pills just trying to deal with it all. Come on, y'all. We got to fight. It's time for us to get fed up with the devil and say, enough is enough. I've taken enough punches. I've sat by and kept my mouth shut long enough. I'm ready to fight. Ready to fight. That's my mountain. Come on, tell somebody, that's my mountain. That's my mountain. When the enemy comes at me with doubt and fear, I'm going to fight him with the word of God. When the devil comes in to wreak havoc in my family, I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to fight him through prayer. If you're a child of God, you were made to fight. You are a devil fighting machine. Did you know that? I want a t-shirt. I'm a devil fighting machine. Psalm 144 verse 1 said, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Come on, hold up your hands. Come on, say, these hands were made for war. Come on, wiggle your finger. Come on, say, these fingers were made to fight. Praise God. He made your fingers to fight. The devil comes at you. Come on, just stick out your pinky and say, I don't think so. Get out of here, devil. Made for war. We're made to fight. There's more power in your little pinky than all the forces of hell combined. Listen, this is not a fair fight. That's why the devil fights dirty. He knows he can't win. So he'll do everything he can to distract you, to make you feel guilty, to make you feel unworthy or get complacent. He'll do anything to try to keep you off the battlefield. Because the devil knows the Bible too, y'all. He knows Romans 16:20 that says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Devil's no match for you. Amen. When Caleb saw the mountain, he had a fight in his spirit. Said, no, devil, you can't have it. That mountain is mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm closing this morning. As I come to close, I want to point out something that a lot of people miss. You see, we read the story, and a lot of times we just skip on over the ending. But I want to look at the very last verse of Joshua 14. It says, Caleb took the mountain, and then the land had rest from war. The land had rest from war. When the people of God went out in faith and fought for their inheritance, there was finally peace in the land. Some of you, you don't have peace in your life right now, and you're going about peace the wrong way. You want peace, but you're doing the wrong things. You think that peace comes from compromise, but that's not how you get peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Notice he didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because you have to fight for peace. If you're here today and you desperately need peace in your life, it's time to start looking at the mountain. It's time to get a little fight in your spirit. It's time to move forward in Jesus' name and make peace. Will you close your eyes and stand to your feet as we pray? You probably should stand up before you close your eyes. Let's close our eyes and pray for a moment. I want you to think about the mountain that you're facing in your life right now. Just between you and God, allow God to show you your mountain today and allow him to identify the promise in your life that has yet to be conquered. Maybe you've been waiting for the promise and maybe you've grown a little weary at this point in life. Listen, I want you to get your fight back this morning. I pray that God would just stir up a fight in your spirit this morning, that you would be so determined in your faith that you would become relentless in pursuing the promise of God in your life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm sure that in those 45 years, Caleb had moments where he was weak, and moments when he was tired, and moments when he wondered, God, it's been decades. When am I going to see your promise in my life? I'm sure that there were moments where he wanted to give up, but he did not quit, and he would not faint. He said, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to trust him. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God. It's time to get stirred up again today. It's time to dream those dreams again this morning. It's time to believe God for more than just a pebble in your life. It's time to grow and get bold in your faith and believe him for the mountain. Because we serve a great big God. There's nothing he cannot do. There may be giants in the land, but we are more than able. The enemy has occupied your territory long enough. It's time to take the mountain. It's time to speak the promises of God. It's time to fight the good fight of faith. It's time to walk in the blessings and the favor of God. It's time to fight for peace in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for helping us to be people of faith and not fear. Lord, help us, God, to trust you and to believe you, God, even when everything in our circumstances looks otherwise. Help us, God, to stand on your promise. Lord, to take you at your word, knowing that your word will not fail. Lord, knowing that your promises are true and they're all yes and amen, that your promise is your will, Lord. Help us, God, to trust you. Help us to be bold in our faith. God, forgive us for being small-minded. God, forgive us, Lord, for the low expectations we've had for our own lives. Help us, God, to dream big like you dream for us. Help us, God, to have faith and to fight for what we're believing for. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that this year is going to be a year of mountain conquering, God. That this is going to be a year where the giants are coming down, that the walls are coming down. That this is going to be a year where we step into the promise and the favor of God. We thank you, God, for a season of breakthrough, a season of deliverance, a season of freedom, God. Thank you for your promises. Lord, we trust you and we take you at your word. Talked about having a fight this morning. Did you know that Jesus fought for you? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came to earth and lived a sinless life. Jesus endured incredible suffering for you and me. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus fought for us and he defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He defeated the power of sin. And why did he do that? Because he loves us. Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were unworthy, we didn't deserve it, but he came anyway because he loves us. Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life cannot be earned. It must be received. It is the gift of God. And you have the opportunity right now, today, in this moment, to receive the gift of eternal life. All you have to do this morning is come to Jesus. Put your faith in him and trust your life to him. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning to help you start that journey of faith. Come on, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, thank you for loving me, for dying for me, for giving everything for me. And Jesus, right now, I give my life to you. I will trust you. I'll follow you. I'll do what you tell me to do. With your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer a minute with all your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. You have made the greatest decision you could ever make. The Bible says that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a name in heaven with you, a book in heaven with your name on it. The Bible says that angels are rejoicing because you decided to follow Jesus.